Good afternoon. This is the Public Utilities Commission and Pierre. Prior to starting our meeting, we're going to go ahead and do a quick roll call on the telephone lines. First off, we'll see if Bill Houston is here. He's on the line.
Bill is not on the line. Kathy Ford is on the line in Bill's place.
Can you say those names again, Kathy?
Kathy Ford is replacing Bill Houston. He's out right at the moment, so he is not on the phone.
And you had another Bill with you?
Nope, just me.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kathy. Ms. Fortas, rather. Larry Hettinger?
Here.
Great, thanks. Talbot Wazorek?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. Meredith Moore?
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mike Bradley?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. Bruce Hansen?
I'm here.
Great. Is there anybody on the telephone line that we neglected to call? Great. With that, we will call this meeting to order. This is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2007, at approximately 1:30. We're here at the State Capitol Building, room 468 in Pierre. This is the time and the place for the regular meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. I'm Commissioner Dusty Johnson. Joining me here in Pierre are Commissioners Gary Hansen and Steve Kolbeck. We do have some folks joining us here in Pierre as well as via the telephone line. With that, we will go ahead and jump into our agenda. Item number one under administration is the approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on December 6, 2006, and for ad hoc meetings held on December 12th as well as December 28, 2006. The minutes have been circulated, and I would ask if there's a motion. Probably ask first if there are any additions or corrections to the minutes. Hearing none, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
I will second.
I concur.
Motion carries. Second item of business under consumer reports, item number one, is a status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the commission. We'll look to Ms. Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson. The commission has received a total of 127 contacts since the last report was prepared for the January 2nd, 2007 commission meeting. 27 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 22 of the contacts involved electrical services, 9 contacts involved natural gas, 14 contacts involved cellular phone service, 27 contacts were related to the Do Not Call registry, and 28 contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 83 of the 127 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved, and 2,141 of the 2,466 complaints received in 2006 have been resolved.
Thanks very much, Ms. Gregg. Are there questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll proceed to electric item number one, and that is EL07-002. That's in the matter of the application of Basin Electric Power Cooperative for an energy conversion facility permit for the construction of the Groton Generation Station Unit 2 project near Groton, South Dakota. The question before the commission today is, shall it assess a filing fee not to exceed $202,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000? With this, we would look towards staff.
Thank you, Commissioner. SDCL 4941B12 allows the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission to charge the actual cost of investigating, reviewing, and processing an application like this. According to that law, the minimum fee to be charged is $8,000, with the maximum fee to be calculated at $202,500, and that's based on the estimated construction cost. Staff would recommend that the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed the $202,500 with initial deposit of $8,000 and to allow the executive director to make request additional deposits as needed.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for staff? Hearing none, we'll look to see if Basin Electric or any other party would like to comment on this matter. Hearing none, any questions or comments for anyone by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, a motion would be in order. And I will move that the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $202,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000.
I'll second.
Concur.
Motion carries. Telecom item number one is TC05-016, since it's in the matter of the filing by Prairie Wave Telecommunications Incorporated for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier. The question before the commission is, what is the commission's decision? I will just note for the record that we have heard oral arguments, have also received briefs, and so the only action we expect to be taking today is a vote by the commissioners. I would see at this time, I would think that if a commissioner had any particular questions for staff, I know Bill Houston's on the line. If you've got to have a question to make your decision, please feel free to ask it, though. Any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, a motion would be in order. This is a difficult one. I do think weighing all the different factors, though, it seemed to me that the benefits did not outweigh the costs in the designation of this ETC. I don't know that there are enough unique advantages to this provider. I had some questions as to whether or not there were going to be additional detrimental effects to the incumbent provider. And I did consider the impact of multiple designations, although I will mention that the FCC has made that very difficult to have that as much of a consideration, because obviously the marginal effect of any single ETC is really de minimis on the whole fund. But in considering all of these factors, it just seemed to me that there were not enough benefits for the designation of this ETC, and as a result, I would move that the commission deny the filing.
I'll second that motion.
It's interesting that you arrived at that conclusion. I know that a lot of discussions and decisions that we have here are people are prone to believe that we sit down together and chat on these things outside of this body, and certainly on a number of items we do. We did not discuss this, and I was somewhat anxious to see where my fellow commissioners would rule on this, because I was planning to make a similar motion for similar reasons and had notes before me on which to explain that. So I vote to concur.
Without the motion to deny carries. We'll proceed to telecom item number 2, TC06-181. It's in the matter of the petition of Venture Communications Cooperative for suspension or modification of local dialing parity reciprocal compensation obligations. The question before the commission today is, shall it grant the request to use the Office of Hearing Examiners? The moving body is Venture, and so at this time we would look toward not Venture, but rather the moving body is Altel, and so at this point we'd look toward Mr. Wazorek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the commission's enlightenment, there was a request by Venture to potentially suspend this. I'd ask for an explanation as to whether there'd be any new legal analysis as the commission's decided this very issue, that the request for use of the Office of Hearing Examiners is a matter of right, and Venture responded in a quick email saying that counsel for Venture responded in a quick email saying that they wanted an opportunity to look at it, but as I see it, there is no new law on it, and I think at this point this was filed more than 10 days ago, and I think there was plenty of time if there was any new law for Venture had actually pointed that out, given us a chance to argue it here. So I think the commission should decide now and grant the request to use the hearing officer. I would point out that the next commission meeting is 3 weeks from now, and any kind of delay of this decision will only make the timeline for deciding this case tighter within the 180-day time period. And given the commission has already, this has been briefed twice to this commission in the last 6 months, has done a full analysis of this legally, absent any presentation of any new legal analysis or any new legal issue that would be unique to this request. I would ask that the commission grant the request to use the hearing officer so we can get this over to the Office of Hearing Examiners and get a schedule in place and a hearing held. That's all I would have unless there are questions.
Thanks very much, Mr. Wazorek. Perhaps we'll hold questions until we've heard from all parties. And I see Ms. Rogers is at the mic.
Thank you. My name is Darla Rogers, and I'm here representing Venture Communications. While your agenda doesn't reflect this, what I had asked for or requested in this case was that you defer action on the question that is written on your agenda. Venture would like some additional time to file a written response to the request. We believe that this petition raises some different issues than the decisions that you have ruled on in the past. We filed our petition in October 24 of 2006. This transfer request did not come in until January 12th of 2007, and so we would like the opportunity to submit a written response to the request and explore some additional issues that we feel are presented in this particular case. So our first request to you is that you defer deciding on the merits of the transfer question today. Now, if, and I had requested Altel to concur with the continuance, and they obviously are not in a position to do that, if the three-week time frame is an issue, you know, we can certainly set deadlines and try to get it, get our response filed before then, but we would request additional time to file a written response and present what we believe are some different arguments to the commission on this issue. So that's our request today.
Thanks very much, Ms. Rogers. This time we would look to staff for their recommendation or comments. Ms. Van Bakken.
This is Kara Van Bakken for staff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do agree that the issue's been briefed. We've talked about it before in these meetings. However, a new commissioner has now taken office since that time, and it always feels uncomfortable to deny a party the opportunity to brief and to argue, and so therefore staff would recommend that if we could, we could find an ad hoc time between now and the next commission meeting to hear arguments.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? I might ask one of Ms. Van Bakken. Do you have concerns about the stress or pressure that this might put on the procedural schedule? I mean, we do, I don't even know if schedule, how fully it's been developed, but I know there's a deadline looming.
Mm-hmm. I do feel concerned about that. However, the parties didn't get something put together before now, and indeed it was filed by October, and it seems as if it would be a concern to the parties. They could have gotten something resolved regarding a scheduling procedure, or could have come before you, the commissioners, and asked for assistance in doing so, and none of the above happened. So, which is why I think an ad hoc meeting, if possible, to make this decision would be best.
Ms. Rogers, how long do you think your clients would need to submit a brief?
Well, we have actually, you know, started some of the initial research on it, and so if a week would be reasonable, that would be something that I think would be doable.
It's always a little difficult to, you know, to tell people, no, we don't want input if you've uncovered a new issue. The reason I'm struggling with this is I do feel like this is an issue that, you know, the commission has been pretty clear on, and in fact, I think the statute is. I think it's relatively clear. That's not to say that you won't be able to find a new legal issue. You know, without asking you to, you know, summarize your brief that might be forthcoming, can you give me some idea of what has changed in the landscape that would warrant an extension and a rehearing of arguments?
Yes, I believe I can. The previous cases in which you've decided this issue have dealt with arbitration cases, and I believe that those cases probably do fall under the contested case definition. This case is different. This is a case where Venture is asking for a suspension or modification of its rights. Under the definition of the contested case that we see in statute, I think that because we're asking for a modification or a waiver of the rights, it falls more into the category of a rulemaking procedure. Furthermore, I believe that the determination that you make as a commission is a little different, and your guidelines, you're dealing directly with what is in the public interest by granting that waiver or not. And that's a different type of delegation. And I believe that that is a, a distinction between this case and the cases in which you've decided this issue in the past. We are, you know, doing some research on contested cases and also looking at some other states to see if we can find some other precedent. The other thing is, in our research of the statutes more clearly, we think there's also another argument that can be made concerning whether or not the public utilities cases should be accepted from these particular this statute that allows for a transfer, and in particular where you have deadlines as far as deciding the cases. And so we would like the opportunity to present those arguments. We think that they are different than the cases you've decided before, and we'd like to be able to present them to the commission.
You know, I probably made a mistake in asking that question. I do appreciate it because I think it's a little insightful, but now we put Mr. Zorich in an opportunity, you know, in a position where he can eat. I mean, it's probably appropriate to ask him if he heard anything that's, because I sort of let you make the merits of your filing there a bit. So, Mr. Zorich, if you have anything that you want to add, it would seem to be appropriate. Give that opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the first I'm hearing of her new arguments, and I'm glad to hear that they now admit that arbitration are constitute contested cases. They had opposed that when we made the request for the arbitration. You know, without seeing her analysis, it's difficult. One thing she said that I can't dispute is the previous rulings were an arbitration. This is a suspension activity, or a request for suspension. I obviously disagree. That's a contested case. There's parties involved. There's a lot of money involved. If the suspension occurs, you've got two wireless carriers that have intervened. What I struggle with, frankly, Mr. Chairman, is as a way of history here on the scheduling, the parties have tried to reach a schedule. Altel committed to a schedule and was waiting to hear back from Venture. We have not heard back. Kind of forced us to make this request to move this. We have to get this moving along. The last couple times that this has been argued against by both last time by Venture and the time before by Golden West, which is a different attorney, the argument was there's not enough time, and we're now sitting in a deal where we push this off another 3 weeks, and I don't want to be facing an argument that, oh, this has been delayed too long, now there's not enough time, when part of the deferral, this deferral would add almost a month's time into keeping this thing moving along. Finally, I don't think there's any secret on this that SDTA is circulating a bill trying to find sponsors to change this statute to remove it, its application to the commission. So I do take some exception to the argument that this statute doesn't apply to utilities type cases. I think it's fairly clear, and like I said, this is SDTA circulating the bill. It's fairly clear SDTA understands it applies and is trying to change that law. So with that said, if the commission should grant the deferral and give them the time to brief, I would only ask that if an ad hoc can be set, that'd be preferable so we can keep this moving along, number one, and then number two, that I would ask for at least a couple days to respond to that brief in writing so the commission would be able to see our reasoning or our counters to the argument. And that's all I would have.
Mr. Zork, you don't think you'd need any more than, you know, 3 or 4 days to file your reply?
I think I can do it to have the reply fairly quickly. A fairly quick turnaround if it means keeping this thing moving along. If she would receive a week, that would put her out to the 30th. I could probably have something filed by close of business on Friday, as long as it would be an agreement that any filings would be made electronically, so I'd have it instantly.
Other questions by commissioners or advisors?
Mr. Johnson, could I please respond to a couple of the points made by Mr. Roy Zorich? That will be very brief.
Sure.
Thank you. I wanted to clarify that, and if I didn't phrase this properly, that's why I want to clarify it. What I was admitting is that this commission has ruled that an arbitration case is a contested case and thus falls under the statute and is appropriately, or you ruled that it was to be transferred. The second thing I would point out is I disagree that Altel was forced to make this request because of the inability of the parties to arrive at a schedule. That would be the same in front of any entity. They also had the opportunity, as Ms. Von Bochran said, to call Ms. Von Bochran to get her involved to help us reach an agreement or to bring it in front of this commission, and certainly you could set a schedule. My recollection of the breakdown in communications between the parties is that it was not all in Venture's court. As I recall, each side was to contact the other, and that didn't happen on either side. Those things happen, but there's certainly recourse right here, and that has nothing to do with this request. And the final thing that I was going to say is that, yes, we can certainly file anything that you would request, or if you would allow us to file something in writing, we can certainly do that electronically and speed the process up that way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Unless there are other questions or comments from commissioners, maybe we'd look to general counsel to see if there are any thoughts.
Well, I guess I'm skeptical that there's going to be any new issues. To the extent the commission wants to allow the opportunity to do that, I would recommend that the commission do an ad hoc and give the parties limited time to actually come up with the new issues. I mean, is there any way we could do this next week? If they have to respond by Friday and Talbot could respond by Tuesday, and we'll set it for Thursday or something.
I like the expedited scheduling, without obviously checking calendars of, the parties and staff and commissioners. I think it'd be tough for us to pin down a day, but I like where you're headed. If we had a filing by end of the week by Ms. Rogers and a filing by Mr. Wozorek by, Tuesday or even, Wednesday by noon or something, one would think we could schedule Thursday or Friday.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? If not, are there any motions?
I think Ms. Forney has indicated that Thursday might be available for the ad hoc commission meeting.
I did check your calendars before we came up here today, and Thursday, February 1st, looked to be clear on your calendars, assuming they're completely updated. You also have to take into consideration we have to find a room and make sure we can get a room in Bridges.
So we could always, Bridges might be a problem, but we could always hold in the conference and our CCR too.
Right. So it
as long as it's not the RDTN.
It appeared before we came up today that Thursday, February 1st was clear.
Well, and rather than set a date, I don't mind setting dates for briefings, but perhaps as far as a date and time for the meeting, we would leave that to you all to coordinate, if that's what the commissioners want to do. Again, before we get to scheduling, we probably want to have a motion as to whether or not to grant a deferral.
I'll make a motion to grant the deferral.
I'll second.
I'll concur. Do you wish to set a deadline for filing?
I would. I don't know if formal motion is necessary, but you're probably right. It doesn't hurt to get it on. I would. He set a Friday at 5 o'clock deadline for the brief requesting to deny the moving to the office, or rather OHE. And then Talbot, is Tuesday, or would you prefer Wednesday at noon?
I will just I would anticipate Wednesday at noon would be my preference, but I'll shoot to try to get it filed Tuesday at 5 to give additional time, solely because of a conflict I have Monday that's going to have me out of the office most of the day.
Okay.
And just for the commission, Thursday and Friday are both relatively open for me, and anything I have can be moved, so I'd be available both those days for scheduling purposes.
Okay, then I would move we set a deadline of Friday close of business for Ms. Rogers' brief, and then Wednesday at noon for Ms. Brzezorek.
Second. I'll concur.
Great. I think that handles all of the business before us with that particular docketed item. We'll proceed to telecom number 3, TC06-199. It's in the matter of the filing by 1-800-RECONNECTS, doing business as USTEL for an extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates. The question is, today, shall the commission grant the request for an extension of an exemption from developing company-specific, developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates? We'll look first to staff, Mr. Solem, Ms. Van Bakken.
Mr. Chairman, this is Nathan Solem with staff. In response to a November 9, 2006 staff letter regarding exemption expiration, RECONNECTS doing business as USTEL filed a petition in accordance with 2010-2711, which asked for a continuance of the exemption granted in docket TC-2082 from developing company-specific cost-based interstate switch access rates. RECONNECTS is further asking for a continuance of the waiver of the use of the formula in ARSD 2010-2712 so that they can use a switched access rate equal to or less than the Quest rate. Lastly, they're requesting a waiver of 2010-2707 and that they not be required to come back before this commission every 3 years with this waiver request. Staff supports this petition and is recommending that the commission approve RECONNECTS' petition and grant the waivers of ARSD 2010-2712 and 2010-2707 with no time restrictions as long as their switched access rate is lower than or equal to the Quest rate.
Thanks very much, Mr. Solomon. Am I right in presuming that no one from 1-800-RECONNECTS is on the line?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Any commissioner advisor questions or comments? Is there a motion?
I move that the commission grant the request for an extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates under the conditions and restrictions as recommended by staff.
I'll second.
I concur. Is an additional motion required for the exemption of the 3-year requirement that they file every 3 years?
It's covered.
Okay, great. Thanks, Commissioner. Telecom number 4, TC07-003, in the matter of the filing by Hills Telephone Company Incorporated for approval of revisions to its interstate switched access tariff. The question today is, shall the Commission approve the revisions to the interstate switched access tariff? Unless we have somebody, looks like we do have Ms. Moore representing Hills Telephone Company on the line. Ms. Moore?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of Hills Telephone Company. On January 9th, on behalf of Hills, we submitted several revised tariff pages for the Hills South Dakota Interstate Switched Access Tariff. And essentially, Hills was previously granted an exemption from developing interstate switched access rates based on its company-specific costs. And the specific revised tariff pages which have been submitted for Hills are based on a statewide average in accordance with the applicable administrative rules. This was primarily done because Hills is not a member of LECA. It was historically operated only in Minnesota and Iowa and has a de minimis number of customers here in South Dakota, and also because of its late arrival of doing any business in the state whatsoever. And so the rate being sought is otherwise essentially based on an average of all other rates in South Dakota. I would certainly be open to any questions that the commissioners might have, and Larry Hettinger is also on the line and could certainly answer any questions that the commissioners would have in regard to the particular rates. Otherwise, we would request that the commission approve the revised tariff pages that have been submitted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Moore. Mr. Best, Ms. Kramer, anything to add?
This is Harlan Best of staff. The rate that Hills is requesting to use is, as Ms. Moore has stated, is the average of the cost companies, less than 100,000 access lines. That rate is 12.25 cents, which is slightly less than the LECA rate that the commission approved in dockets TC04119, TC05096, and TC06079. Within that LECA stipulation, it was agreed that there would not be refunds made, and staff would recommend that the commission do likewise in the Hills docket TC07003, not require that refunds be made, and that the rate of 12.25 cents be effective February 1, 2007.
Thanks very much. Any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, do we have a motion? I will move that the commission approve the revisions to the interstate switch to access tariff, allowing a rate of 12.25 cents per minute effective February 1st, 2007, and not requiring refunds.
I'll second. I concur.
Motion carries. Proceeding to telecom item number five. Thanks, Ms. Moore. Proceeding to telecom item number five, TC07-004. It's a matter of the filing by Kadoka Telephone Company for approval of revisions to its interstate switched access tariff. And again, the question before the commission is today, shall it approve the revisions to the interstate switched access tariff? I see Ms. Rogers settle in. Go ahead, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you. This is Darla Rogers on behalf of Kadoka Telephone Company. With the exception of Ms. Moore's comments concerning Hills having out-of-state customers, Kadoka's situation is basically the same as Hills. Kadoka is a non-LECA member and was granted an exemption from filing or developing company-specific cost-based access charges. We are asking and have, in fact, filed revised tariff pages to reflect the 12.25 cents rate. So we're asking for this commission to approve that rate. Thank you. I would also tell you that Larry Hettinger is available if there are any questions in this docket as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much. We'll hold the questions and look to staff for their comments.
This is Harlan Best, the staff. The comments that I've made for the Hills telephone, the prior docket would apply to this docket also, and with the effective date of February 1, 2007. And there again, there'd be no refunds because they have filed in accordance with what was the LECA rate.
Thanks very much, Mr. Best. Any questions by commissioners or staff or advisors, or any comments as well? Is there a motion?
Move that the commission approve the revisions to the interest rate switch access tariff as proposed.
I'll second.
I'll concur. That concludes the business under our regular agenda. We do have an addendum that we'll take up at this time. The first and I believe only item under the addenda is electricity number one. It's for EL07-002, and it's in the matter of the application of Basin Electric Power Cooperative for an energy conversion facility permit for the construction of the Groton Generation Station Unit 2 project near Groton, South Dakota. Had I been smart enough to take this up during the regular agenda, I would have only had to have read that once. But in any case, the question today is, shall the commission authorize the executive director to execute a contract with Clark Title Company? At this time, we would look toward staff, Mr. Singer, Mr. Rounds, Ms. Van Bockeren for their comments.
This is Kara Van Bockeren for staff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
SDCL 4941B15, as was amended last year, requires that we, the commission, notify all the landowners within a half mile of the proposed facility of the application and of the hearing. Staff, after some discussion, feels a bit uncomfortable with our best guess, with the best information we have available to us to locate those people, and feel it would be best if we hired professionals that know and have more resources than we do to find all of those record owners, identify them, because we need to also know their mailing address. And they may not necessarily live at the land that they own near the facility. So with that in mind, we sought advice from others who have to do this sort of thing quite regularly. And the Department of Transportation was one of those such agencies that does. They must notify landowners when they're looking at easements or similar types of things. They have a set procedure, they have a contract they use, and they have particular businesses with which they do this sort of searching with regularly. Staff today would ask that you approve the contract in front of you. It's a modified contract, a modified version of what the Department of Transportation uses, and ask that we you permit us to use Clark Title Company. That particular company knows how to get the information. They know what we're looking for. They do this for the Department of Transportation, so they can do it quickly. In fact, if you notice on the contract, the date is left blank. And in speaking with Mr. Sanger, spoke with a representative from Clark Title earlier today, and they believe they can have that information to us by Friday. So they're a group that can do it for us quickly. So we'd ask you please approve the contract and allow our executive director to sign the same. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, a motion would probably be in order, and I will move to so authorize the executive director.
A second.
I concur.
Motion carries. That completes our business on the addendum as well as the main agenda. We do have a few announcements. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be held February 13th at 1:30 p.m. in room 468 State Capitol Building in Pier. It's probably worth noting that during session, all of our regularly scheduled commission meetings will be in the afternoons. Announcement number two is that the commission meetings are also scheduled for March 13th and March 27th of 2007. Number three, commissioners and staff will be attending the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners winter meeting, February 18th through the 21st, 2007. And finally, that hearing and dockets TC06-175 and 176 will be held in the Matthews Training Center, February 27th through March 2nd, 2007. The hearing will begin at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, February 27th, 2007. I'd also note that Vicki Burns will be starting with our consumer affairs staff tomorrow, so we certainly in advance wish her well and welcome her aboard. That concludes our business. Thanks.